Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Roost Podcast. As always, I am Carter Spires here with my co-host Matthew Bartlett, owner and managing editor of AtTheRoost.com, your premier source for Rice sports news. An interesting week one game. Unfortunate that Rice couldn't pull out the win on the road. Lots of positives to take out of that one. I think you kind of feel good about the direction of the team now after seeing that first game. But we'll start with a couple housekeeping items and then move on into reviewing that game in full.
Yeah, so we'll hit with in-house stuff first. So put our first edition of the pickup game up on the site. We had six questions. Three people got five or six correct, so good for that. And it's just going to be an easy game. Go onto the forum, log in, and make your picks. We've got stuff up from this week's game. Just kind of like play along, and then, we'll have the site up and running during the game so you can react to plays as they happen and things like that. And then otherwise, if you want to go on and give us some support, you can pick up the preview or some shirts, some stuff like that at the store shop. So that's there too. So wanted to leave those two pieces out there so y'all can join in and participate with us. Those will be fun. And then a couple pieces before we'll get into Rice and then Wake Forest after that. I wanted to hit on some notables from around Conference USA from this past weekend. So Rice came up a little bit short against Army. UTEP won their first game at home since November of 2016, and that was a nail-biter over Houston Baptist, which I have some friends close to the program that tell me Houston Baptist is going to be pretty good, but it was a win for UTEP and was back and forth all game, so take that for what you will. But was better than Western Kentucky, who ended up losing at home, and Tyson Helton's first game as a head coach to an FCS team. So those are the bigger pieces and notables. And then you had some folks playing Texas, Michigan, things like that did not go as well. But for the most part, we had a as expected week in Conference USA with not too much crazy going on. And then I guess that brings us to Rice.
I mean, talking about this game, I think the number one thing you really take away from it on the whole is how great the defense was, and particularly the front seven. You know, we talked in the offseason doing the previews and stuff that really the big question mark for this team on defense is corner. And that we're going to have to wait at least till next week at Wake Forest to really get an answer on, because Army didn't exactly test the secondary a whole lot. I think they threw eight passes the whole time. But the front seven, who were all, you know, having to deal with the run and this triple option the whole game, just looked fantastic. You know, they gave up one long drive for a touchdown in the first half and one long drive for a touchdown in the second half. And other than those two drives, which together were like 190 of Army's, like, under 300 total yards, I think. Yeah, 284 total yards. So those two drives comprised 190 of those 284 yards. They looked fantastic outside of that. Just so disruptive. It seemed like every single player in the front seven, from Miles Adams to Blaze Aldridge to Kenneth Orji to Anthony Ekpe to Trey Schumann, Antonio Montero, all of them just getting tackles for loss, just constantly being disruptive and getting in the backfield and stoning Army in a couple of short yardage situations. I mean, it was just really, really impressive.
Yeah, and as you kept going on through the game, Army kept finding themselves in third and eights, third and 11s, third and 12s. And, you know, that touchdown drive they had in the first half, the big play in that sequence was how far to go? I think it was a 38-yard reverse, something like on third and long. And so for the most part, sans that big play and then a couple penalties, uncharacteristic penalties from Rice, I mean, could you have drawn up a better performance from the front seven?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you told me going into this game that Army would run the ball 56 times and get 4 yards a carry and that Rice would give up under 300 yards and 14 points, I'd have felt really good about their chances going in. I mean, I can't say enough about how impressive that performance was.
Yeah, and it was, so there's the caveat that Rice didn't really have to be too careful when it came to what Army was throwing going through the air, and they were able to kind of crowd the box. But the thing that really impressed me from the front seven, you know, full box or not, was you could watch Kelvin Hopkins, the Army quarterback, kind of as he went through the progressions on plays, and he would go first option, second option, third option, and you could see the frustration of there's not the hole that he was looking for. And so there was three or four plays that I felt like Army beat the Rice defense, and somebody in the secondary had to come up and make a stop 5 or 6 yards downfield. But for the most part, even the gains of two or three or four was Army falling forward after exhausting all those options and trying to get yards.
Yeah, I mean, they were like, Army had the touchdown or the passing touchdown on their second touchdown drive. And they had, I mean, they completed two more passes, which went for 17 and 19 yards. Their longest run was that reverse. Their longest run outside of that reverse was 12 yards. Like, they really didn't, other than that one play where they kind of used Rice's aggression against them and got free for the reverse, there were always bodies wherever the ball was. Like, they just didn't catch them out of position one time. Like, the one time they got them out of position for a big run, and that was it. And it was, you know, against this offense, which is literally designed to do that, which is to put you in a situation where you don't have the numbers to defend the run and get a guy free. They ran the ball 56 times and broke free once. So, yeah, I can't say enough about how disciplined and how smart and how disruptive the Rice defense looked.
And for four quarters, I think, yeah. for me, that was, you know, we talked about this on the Army preview, I believe. But what I needed to see from Rice is, can you do it for four quarters? Because we've seen moments where on offense they looked pretty good, or defense they looked really good, and they had things working. We really hadn't seen it four complete quarters of looking locked in, like they knew where they were supposed to be and executing. And aside even that one play, that reverse, you know, Army went into their bag of tricks early, which says something about how they thought they could move the ball without that, for one thing. But there wasn't any point of this game where I thought the defense was confused or overmatched or unsure of what they were supposed to be doing. I think this is the kind of defense that Blomgren and, you know, defensive coordinator Brian Smith have been talking about bringing to Rice for the first time for a complete game. You left that game feeling like Rice had a dominant defense, and not that they had a good game. You see what I'm saying with the subtle difference there? It wasn't just kind of like, oh, things worked out. It was like, oh, man, they're good.
Yeah. It wasn't Army had a bad game on offense and didn't put up good totals. It was Rice shut them down. It was, you know, I've been watching Rice football for 12 years plus at this point. That was one of the more impressive. Most of the highlights over those years have come offensively. There haven't been a lot of times where I've thought back and been like, wow, the Rice defense really got him in that game. And this is, I think, one of the most comprehensive defensive performances I've ever seen from a Rice defense.
Yeah, and it got to the point where there wasn't, you know, when I think of dominant defenses, you think of that one guy or those two guys that just wreak havoc and run the show. I mean, I lost track of how many times I saw Treshawn Chamberlain and Anthony Ekpe meeting in the backfield at the quarterback or the ball carrier, to the point where, like, I don't know if I can point to, you know, a single play or a single player, because I think top to bottom, like, everybody, I mean, we saw DeBraylon Carroll involved early in this game, and we saw Garcia came in and had the strip that was the only turnover of the game. From whoever you're calling the starters to whoever was in at the reserves, everyone was doing their job. And Army just looked frustrated.
Yeah, that talking about all the different players that were involved, you know, like, I remember watching Christian Covington sack Johnny Manziel in when they played Texas A&M in 2013. And, you know, there have been moments in recent years where, like, a Rice defensive player had a really great game, but not one where it was just like a whole comprehensive effort, you know, top to bottom, position to position, where it's just like everybody was locked in and knew what they were doing and was just running that to perfection. And it's a huge credit to the coaching staff, I think, and to the players as well.
Yeah, and I think it also brings kind of, I guess, the piece of the defense that we didn't really get to dig in too much against Army a little bit into question. We were looking through the secondary, and I thought, for the most part, the safety play was pretty strong. We mentioned Treshawn Chamberlain at Viper, like, call him safety, call him whatever you want. He was all over the place. I think he got nicked up and looked like he came back in. So they were doing well, but we didn't really see, you mentioned that Army attempted 8 passes, and I think on 3 or 4 of those incompletions, I was amused because Hopkins missed his target by a football field. Like,
yeah, there were a couple of those where they dropped him back to pass, and the Army offensive line was not prepared to pass block the Rice front 7, and he just got leveled as he threw a couple of times, and those balls just kind of fluttered out into the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, which I mean Rice was not particularly successful at getting to the quarterback last season, near the bottom of Conference USA, I believe, in sacks. So that's something I'm interested to see as we get to next week and down the road of, you know, as dominant as that front 7 was against the run, what does that translate into when they're playing teams that are going to try and air it out and do a 3-5-7 step drop and things like that? But we don't really see that from Army. And so you take away those 3 or 4 passes that had no shot from go, and on passes where Hopkins had a little bit of time or was able to kind of get it off comfortably, he connected on 3 or 4. And those were downfield, and that included what would be the game-winning touchdown pass, and there was nobody in the vicinity whatsoever, which it's got to bring at least a little bit of concern. And I know that you don't really think you're not expecting Army to drop back and pass much, so you'll probably Rice is going to set up their defense and attack things differently against Wake Forest than that against Army. But at the same point, if you know you're in a situation where one play can be the difference, you got to be honest there.
Yeah, and that was on that touchdown. I think they were in sort of like a 2 deep. They had both the safeties kind of in the end zone, and there were really no underneath defenders. So they ran, I think they had like 2 receivers lined up on that side, and the inside receiver ran kind of a crossing route across the middle of the field and drew, I think Prudy Calderon was the safety to that side of the field, and drew him over toward the other side. And then the outside receiver kind of came in behind him, and there was nobody there. You know, that's just in a tough situation, because usually when you're a safety playing that type of role, there is some underneath coverage. Like, you know, you might get drawn out of the way, but if the guy underneath who's in playing the shallow zone or playing man defense on the guy is in position, then you can still, he just got kind of put in a situation where,
right,
all it took was one player making a mistake and there was nobody to help him. And, you know, that's just the situation those offenses will put you in when they choose to pass, is that you're just going to be out there with really nobody to make up for it.
And again, it's the point where that was the only passing touchdown of the game. It was one of 2 touchdowns that Army scored. And if you told the Rice coaching staff, look, you're going to give up 14 points, take it or roll the dice, you take that. And even that one coverage snafu and they get the touchdown, like, that's at a point where you can live, if you're the Rice defense, with having, you know, that one ouch and take your licks and move on. And I think the question we're going to have to see going forward is, you know, that was more than one uh-oh last year. It was usually several a game that kind of put Rice in a bad place. And so that's kind of the question I have lingering from here is this a, you know, you had one mistake and you live with it? Or is it kind of a sign that we've taken 4 mistakes and we've brought them down to 1 mistake? And I don't think we have enough data to answer that. But I certainly was encouraged to see that, you know, when Army did drop back to pass, it was more of a, it was usually a win for the Rice defense versus a win for the Army offense.
And you know, like I said, we're just going to have to, you know, for the pass defense as a whole, it's just going to be kind of a TBD thing, because you know, you feel great about this performance, but this was not a game that was ever going to be able to answer that question for Rice. So we will see. When Wake Forest comes to town on Friday, they threw for 400 yards against Utah State last week. So they're definitely going to test Rice in ways that Army did not. Moving over to the other side of the ball, definitely not the overall output you would have wanted to see for this Rice offense. There were some bright spots. Obviously, Nashawn Ellerbe, who, I mean, what a cool story that is, first of all, that, you know, he was a guy who was like Rice's leading rusher 2 years ago and then basically missed all of last season with one injury after another. And, you know, frankly, I don't even know if I expected him to be in the top three or four running backs for Rice coming into this season, let alone a guy who would get, you know, the second most carries and be basically splitting time with Aston Walter. So,
yeah, and I think when we talked about in the preview, when we walked through the running back positions, our kind of note on him was like, he's an athletic freak that if he's healthy, he'll probably do something. But that was the question mark. And we didn't really see him. So the walkthrough on Thursday before or Wednesday, I guess, before they flew out to West Point, it was Ellerbe and Aston Walter kind of splitting reps with the first team. And so there was lightning and I practice ended up being like 20 minutes of full walkthrough. So I saw those two and that was it and didn't really get. And I guess we're recording this before we get to talk to coaches and go through depth charts and injuries and such. But we don't really have an update right now on Juma Ottaviano or Charlie Booker, two guys who we kind of figured would be prominently involved at running back, but weren't utilized on Friday against Army. I believe Juma is nicked up to some degree. I'm not sure about Charlie, but if nothing else, it is a testament to where this offense is so far that you can go down to what do you call Ellerbe after Cam Montgomery, your fifth string running back, and he can more or less carry the team. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it definitely shows you that the depth and the number of playmakers they have in this running back squad is really, really solid. And so I think you feel pretty good about that going forward, especially if some of those other guys can get healthier and carve out roles. On the whole, I don't think so. The thing about this game, which you may not have realized watching it, was that Rice only ran 44 plays. They had 30 rushes and 14 passes. Yeah. Well, you know, it's what happens when you both teams are going to take as much time as possible and run the clock. And then you get kind of on the short end of efficiency and getting first downs. And so, I mean, Army only ran 64 plays. So that makes what 108 total plays from scrimmage in this game. I'm pretty sure there were individual teams that ran more plays than that in other games this week one. So if you actually look at the yards per play numbers, Rice ran 44 plays for 243 total yards, which is like 5.5 yards per play, which is not bad. And even if you take out the long rush by Nashawn Ellerbe, which is easily their longest play, the per play average was not as bad as you maybe would think, but they were definitely, you know, just in the passing game, they just didn't really ever get much going. They had a couple screen passes that just sort of got blown up right away because they couldn't sustain the blocks and just really didn't get much going downfield except for that one longer completion to Austin Trammell. And I have to go back.
That ball didn't travel all that far down the field. That was right. hit him on a slant, maybe 10, 15 yards out, and he did the rest.
So I haven't had a chance to rewatch the game yet, and I need to figure out, you know, where the kind of responsibility lies on some of it. But I don't know if there was. It didn't look like the receivers were getting a ton of separation, and even when they did, Wiley certainly did not have his best game in terms of ball placement and accuracy. I don't want to single any one guy out because it feels like they're definitely like the unit as a whole really needs to make improvements and just kind of raise the level collectively.
And, yeah, you know, he attempted 14 passes. Like, I mean, we're looking at some of the other, you know, what normal for a college offense is. It kind of varies, but you know, Wake Forest, I think their starting quarterback had 40 attempts during the game.
47.
47, yeah.
Yeah,
in and that so game, you're giving Wiley a third of that. So I think that was, I guess, on the wide receiver front, I think probably the best catch of the game came on from Nashawn Ellerbe on that third down, sneaking out, getting behind his defender, and making that sliding catch. And beyond that, like, here's what I'm trying to understand and kind of decide of how much of the Rice offense against Army was scripted in such a way to shorten the game and to intentionally put more of an emphasis on running the ball than maybe might be whatever you want to call normal. And that kind of took away from how much they wanted and were looking for Wiley to be involved and looking to attack downfield. Because I really, when it was the fourth quarter and Rice had the ball and was making that one push drive down the field with the clock ticking, I was like, all right, here's the part. Now Wiley needs to air it out, or they need to get something going through the air. And they stuck to the ground game and ran the ball and ran the ball. And for the most part, it worked pretty well. Like, the ground game was working.
I mean, they got the ball back with, what, like 4 minutes to go, maybe?
Something like that, like 350.
Ran eight plays on that drive, and including a pass interference, the pass interference that was called, Wiley threw the ball one, two, three times. And maybe they called I think on the play where there was the fumble, I think that was a called pass that he ended up scrambling on. So they called four passes, you know, with the clock ticking down and, you know, getting to the point where it was do or die. So
yeah. And on the pass interference call, like, I thought that was a good throw. The fourth down attempt that he hit 30-yard bull, like, that was put on the money. You kind of, I mean, maybe a little bit better, but from when he threw the ball downfield and he had a throw, I think, to Rosner on the sidelines, that things that, I mean, they might not have been perfect, but watching that, I was like, it was good. Like, he was mostly accurate down the field. I think the screen passes are what kind of threw him off, but from watching his performance, I thought, like, kind of like, he was a little bit, you know, reined in, and he didn't really have much of the freedom, or wasn't being asked or told to kind of push things. And he was conservatively running the offense to, you know, how Rice might have wanted it to go. I when I watched this game, I saw the passing offense kind of being not as effective as Rice fans would want it to be, but I struggled to put much of that blame on Wiley, because when his number was called, I thought he did a good job getting the ball where it needed to be.
Yeah, well, and the throw to on the one big pass play to Austin Trammell, that was an amazing throw. That was he really threaded the needle on that one and got it to him in strides. And I mean, that's a huge part of why he was able to get so many yards after the catch, because he was just able to catch that ball and keep running. But yeah, it definitely didn't feel like he really had the opportunity to kind of get into a rhythm throwing the ball, just, and, you know, in part because they couldn't sustain drives at times. And so he just, and that probably played as much a role in him not having as many passes as anything, as they just, I mean, you know, they had drive short and the clock was running and Army was burning clock. And it's, I think in an ideal world, where things went more according to game plan for the coaching staff, he would have gotten more attempts. And maybe with that, he gets in more to a rhythm and gets, you know, some of those shorter throws more in rhythm and on time. You know, we'll see. I would be willing to bet that he gets more attempts as the weeks go on.
It was like you were saying, it was hard to grade the secondary for Rice in this game. I'm really still kind of jury's out on the passing offense, just from how it was schemed up and what it looked like in real time. Like you said, I'm just not sure I saw enough from Wiley or the wide receivers to really assess what this is going to be like. And part of that, with the limited opportunities, I just kept waiting and waiting as we got to the third and fourth quarter. I'm like, okay, I know you're not going to take, and we talked about this in the preview, we know they're not going to take four or five shots downfield, but I was kind of surprised that there wasn't a moment where they got to a first down or a second and short and they just unleashed Zane Knipe and just tried to get a big play to spark. That was kind of the thing that I was waiting to see. And I guess for whatever reason, they didn't go that route. But that was something that I was kind of like, I don't know if that's a what you call a missed opportunity or if there was ever really a moment where that fit. But that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, for sure. The and, you know, like we said, we don't have really answers in terms of, you know, guys in the running back rotation. You know, we'll hopefully find out more about that this week. But I was definitely surprised to see only two running backs get basically all of the carries. I guess Cam Montgomery got one, but that was otherwise they had, you know, 27 attempts by run or 28 attempts by running backs, and 27 of those were Nashawn Ellerby and Austin or Aston Walter.
Yeah, but, and Aston Walter, like he had a 24-yard carry that got taken away by holding, which ended up being really, I mean, Rice was pretty penalty free, but the penalties they did have were pretty costly, and that was one of them. But for the most part, when Aston had the ball, like, he was kind of what you think of when you think of intellectual brutality, ground and pound. Like, he didn't have, I think his longest run outside of that might have been like 9 yards, 10 yards,
yeah,
something like
nine
that.
Yards.
Most of them were a 4 yard hit, a 5 yard, 4 yard, 3 yard, 6 yard, just kind of grinding out, getting hard yardage. And he was really used as kind of like the workhorse to kind of keep things moving. And so I that was something going into the season that, and I don't know what the health of the running back room of how that transpired to be, but that wasn't kind of how I thought he would be used. But I was kind of impressed to see him hold up and move the ball well and break out in the end of the game with that big play that ended up getting called back. He was a workhorse.
Yeah, I was really, I would not have thought of him based on what we've seen from him his career and, you know, how they used Austin last year, who's obviously a very similar player. But they really, you know, wanted to have him grind out the tough yards in between the tackles, and he did a really good job of that. You know, the rushing offense as a whole was not explosive outside of Ellerby's one big run, but I was really satisfied with how they were able to keep ahead of the chains and consistently churn out, you know, 4, 5, 6 yard gains. It seemed like there were a couple of times when the offensive line, and this is understandable since our first actual live game action together, and, you know, a couple of these guys weren't even on campus 6 months ago. There were a couple of times when things were a little glitchy up front, when maybe things weren't working in unison, or, you know, an assignment got missed or something like that. But generally, I thought the offensive line was great, and I thought that led to a pretty solid running game performance. I thought their pass blocking was pretty good. It looked like Wiley generally had enough time to throw when he did drop back. And then when everything was working right up front, they opened some pretty big holes for the backs to run through. So not the dominant performance that the defensive front had, but I thought it was a positive game for the offensive line generally as well.
Yeah, and you have to think, like, continuity is something that Rice has been looking for on the offensive line, and there was a couple of breakdowns, but for the most part, it was the same handful of guys, and then got to the point in the running game where there were at least a play or two on most drives where I was, because that's kind of something I was looking for, where the running back got the ball and he had a window, a space wide enough for him to run through and then some to get yardage. And I think that's some of the things that helped Aston be able to carry that load 5 or 6 yards every single play, is because when he got the ball, he wasn't getting met in the backfield and having to carry guys. He was running 4 yards down the field and then getting to contact and falling forward. So I think from what I wanted to see from the offensive line and the running game, they more than passed the test. That it wasn't, you know, every play wasn't perfect, but more often than not, there was running lanes. And if this offense can get running lanes, especially when they start bringing in some of those jumbo packages with multiple tight ends, then you have guys blocking at the second level. And that's how you get the 24-yard carry from Aston that got pulled back, and then the 55-yard carry from Ellerby. Those will start to pop more and more and more when every single time the running back gets the ball, there's a hole to run through, which is something we didn't see last year. Last year, it was a lot of running backs having to create their own space at the line of scrimmage. And through one game, small sample size, I think we saw the opposite, where the backs had a lot of freedom to kind of choose and when and what hole to go through and how to hit it, which was extremely encouraging.
Yeah, it was just really good to see that consistent moving. You know, the between Ellerby and Walter, they had 27 carries. And even if you take out Ellerby's long run, I think they averaged almost 4.5 yards a carry. And that's without basically any other explosive runs. So you know, a lot of times when a team has a really high rushing average, that tends to get inflated by huge carries. But you take the one of those that Rice had out, and they still had a really, really solid rushing average. So it's just good to see.
Still better. I mean, Army was 4.1 yards per carry. You take Rice's big play out, and Rice still outrushed Army as far as a productivity standpoint, which in a vacuum, if you said that was going to happen, yes, please. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah. I guess the final thing to talk about here is the special teams, which were a very mixed bag. The punting was great. Jack Fox would be proud. I assume he was proud. Both Barnes and Nunez looked, you know, huge punts, pinned Army deep several times, just generally looked exactly what you want out of your punter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll have to follow up with Jack on this, but Jack was phenomenal last year, but I don't recall him ever putting four punts in a row inside the 10-yard line. Like, I'm not saying Adam Nunez has outdone Jack Fox, but when he got back to punt and the ball was every single time, like, Army started on their two, their four, their six. It's just like, there were moments when I thought Rice could have pushed in and gotten a safety because of the amount of pressure they had because of what Nunez did to set that up.
Yeah, let's hope those guys keep that up, because that'll be a huge weapon in terms of maintaining a field position advantage for Rice. I don't even know what else to say about that. It was great.
Astounding.
Yeah.
and kudos to Chris Barnes. He's interesting story. Walked onto the team as a tight end, got a scholarship as a captain this year, and he got to kick, I think, beginning of the third quarter, got to kick his first punt in a college game, and, you know, went, I think, 38, 40 yards, something like that. So that was cool to see him as a captain still getting mixed in and Nunez still doing a good job. Rice has said that they were going to use multiple punters to get the job done, and Nunez was red hot, so he got most of the kicks on Friday. But either way, nice to see Chris get that opportunity, and I don't know how it's going to look going forward, but by and large, you couldn't have asked for a better night from that half of the special teams, for sure.
Yeah, and then
the other half.
Yeah, the place kicking. Obviously, Rice missed two field goals, one of which was a very short, like a 26-yarder. Both in the first half, I think. So either of those would have given Rice the lead going into halftime. And, you know, you don't want to play with hypotheticals too much, but, you know, you make both of those, and then in that final drive,
it's fourth and one on the 23-yard line.
Yeah.
You would like to kick a 40-yard field goal to win the game, hypothetically.
I think it's safe to say that when Zach Hoban, the freshman, is fully healthy, that competition will probably resume. You know, I don't want to be too hard on Harrison. That's kicking is a very a tough position mentally. When you mess up, everybody sees it, and sometimes you don't get the opportunity to redeem yourself for a while. So I definitely don't want to be too hard on the guy. But yeah, I think it's safe to say that the competition there will be ongoing.
Yeah, and I think we really started taking Hayden Tabola for granted last year and how automatic he became. And, you know, Will, you know, started for this team 2 years ago and was here with Hayden last year and kind of taking a backup role. And it was really him and Nick McQuarrie in the spring, and then Zach Hoban coming on. And he hadn't done anything so far in fall camp that I think has left anyone amazed. So he's had his good days and his bad days. It is just so unfortunate for Rice that the bad day came at the worst possible time, which, like you said, Carter, you're a kicker. That's comes with the territory sometimes. But I think you're right. Well, so Zach Hoban was in a boot beginning of last week, I guess the week leading up to Army prep, and then by the time it was time for walkthroughs, he was in a brace. So the brace and the boot were on his non-kicking leg, so where he's planting, so that could be just generally needed to make sure he has the strength to plant and make those kicks. So we'll get an update, you know, when this comes out. Hopefully we have more information on his injury status, but I would have to imagine that, barring, you know, Will turning something on and snapping any sort of bad streak early, it's going to be a competition, and we'll probably see both of them as soon as Nunez is healthy in live game situations. Because what happened against Army, leaving 6 points on the board against in a 7-point game, that really leaves everyone in the special teams room, you know, with a bad taste in their mouth. And it's pretty unfortunate with how well the team as a whole. I think this was a performance from Rice that you walk away and you feel overall positive about. And that was kind of the one spot where you're just like, man, I wish.
And you know, it's just like kind of for this game on the whole, you know, you don't want to be in the position where you're sitting here celebrating moral victories. But at the same time, you know, Rice was the spread in this game was 3 touchdowns in favor of Army. Rice came within 7 points and it had a chance to win it or send it to overtime at the end. And so it feels good after the way things went a lot of times last year to be in this position where people didn't expect much of you. And you're, you know, you're sitting here a little while after the game thinking like, man, if just this one or two things had happened, the result might have been different. So it feels good to be back in that place where what you've got, you know, you feel good about a lot of things and you just need that extra thing to put you over the top. You just need to be a little bit better to really get the result
you're
you want.
You're talking about correctable things.
Right.
Like we're at the end of the day, we're talking about missed field goals. We're talking about that hole on Aston Walters, 23-24 yard run. We're talking about, you know, timing on some of the throws from Wiley. We're talking about things that you can teach and practice and get better at. And it not taking credit away from Army, but this was a game that felt more like, you know, Rice gave away opportunities to win the game. And it wasn't so much Army dominated and Rice came up short. It really felt like, for the most part, mm-hmm. Rice was either in control of this game or neck and neck with the team that won 11 games last year and, you know, crushed that team across town by 50 points. And so for the game to end how it ended, I think everybody on South Main is kind of frustrated with the result because they know they're good enough to beat Army, which... Right. Isn't something that I think everyone maybe outside of the program believed before last week.
All right. Any last thoughts on that game?
No, but I believe we have more football.
Yeah. Another Friday night game, the home opener this weekend against Wake Forest, who won a barn burner at home against Utah State this weekend. So, you know, I didn't get to watch very much of that game, and I haven't had the chance to really review Wake Forest a lot so far, but like we said earlier in the show, you know, they bring back quarterback Jamie Newman, who started at the end of the season last year, and they lost receiver Greg Dortch, who was their best guy, who Rice fans might have not so great memories of from last year's game.
Scarring memories.
In Winston-Salem.
4 touchdowns and like 160 yards by himself.
Yeah, but they have a guy who named Sage Surratt, who had 7 balls for 158 yards and a touchdown against Utah State. So don't think Dortch being gone means there's going to be any relief in the passing game. So I think the number one thing this week that's my key to this game is that if we just talked about that Army was not the game where you're going to really find any answers on for quarterback and in the secondary for Rice, that test is coming now.
Yeah.
Because Wake Forest threw the ball, like we said, 47 times against Utah State for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, no picks from Jamie Newman. So it's just going to be a whole different defensive matchup for Rice. This is really going to be a test for the coaching staff and for the players to have gone from this team running this unique offense they spent all offseason preparing for, or a significant portion of the offseason preparing for. I mean, Coach Blumgren's talked about that they practiced for the triple option in the spring, but this is just a totally different offense and a totally different approach. And so it's going to be a huge test for these guys to come out and have to defend this wildly different style of offense than what they've just spent so much time preparing for.
Yeah. And you mentioned quarterback Jamie Newman. So he beat out. So Sam Hartman, the guy who was in the saddle against Rice last year, got injured, and Jamie Newman take over at the end of the year. And both healthy, Jamie beat out Hartman for the starting job. And that was probably, I mean, you know, Rice made their decision official the Tuesday before their Friday game. I think Wake announced their starter Sunday. So that was a battle that went down to the wire. And they're both really good quarterbacks. And, you know, the offense as a whole has, I mean, we saw them against Utah State. It was spread them out and attack through the air. So if there is a polar opposite of what we saw from Army, this is going to be it. And even then, Wake still ran the ball 58 times. So Cade Carney is back, and he gave Rice fits last year on the ground. He had 100 yards rushing. And then the Christian Beale Smith, he's kind of more of the, you know, third down, kind of shiftier pass receiving kind of guy. He had 11 carries, 40 yards, and is another option that they have out of the backfield that is going to attack Rice in more multiple ways. You know, the Army triple option is, you know, varied in how it's going to look and where the ball is going to go. But this is kind of more, less compact and more spread, to the point when Wake Forest snaps the ball, there's going to be several different places they could go with it. And that's going to force, you know, that front seven that was able to key in and look so spectacular against the team running the ball. What's it going to look like against a team like Wake, who can do both and do both well?
It's definitely going to be tough and definitely going to be a unique challenge. If there is sort of a silver lining here, I think, for the Rice defense, Utah State's defense had 10 tackles for loss, including 3 sacks and an additional 2 quarterback hurries. So, you know, again, I haven't had the time to, like, look at these guys up front and, you know, look at schemes and all that. But it definitely seems like there will be opportunities for the Rice front seven to make disruptive plays. And if they can do that, that'll be a huge help for the secondary in terms of defending this passing attack. When it comes to the other side of the ball, Wake gave up 400 yards passing and 180, almost 600 total yards too. And now, granted, Jordan Love is a very, very good quarterback for Utah State. So there's not too much shame in giving up a big performance to him, although they did pick off 3 of his passes. I think the opportunity will be there. This is not a Power 5 opponent that's going to have a physically overwhelming defense against Rice. So I think there will be the opportunity for the Rice offense to make a lot of plays and to really, you know, establish the run up front like what they want to do, and then make some plays in the passing game to kind of to get some bigger plays and get more points on the board.
Yeah, and this is a Wake secondary that in last year in your past has had a couple guys, corners that have gone on to the NFL. And I think they have one guy who was a supplemental pick in the NFL draft and another guy who got drafted the year before that. They've had a lot of talent in their secondary and still have been not very good. Like, Wake had the 117th ranked pass defense last year. And that's with one of those NFL guys, you know, manning one of the sides. And, you know, after watching them get absolutely lit up, like we said, Jordan Love's a really good quarterback, but the Wake defense doesn't have anything that scares me with Rice's options in the passing game. They're going to get opportunities to attack and push the ball downfield. And, you know, we haven't seen, going back to the Army game, we haven't seen Rice try. We haven't seen really a true deep ball thrown. Mm-hmm. And asking some of the speedy wide receivers they have, you know, a bigger guy like Rosner on the sides to go out and win one-on-one battles. They're going to have opportunities, and Wake would love nothing more to turn this into a track meet. So it's going to be interesting to see where is the middle ground for the Rice offense. Is this going to be another game where it's a clone of what they tried to do against Army, and they want to run the ball 40 times and throw 15 passes and they're going to try and slow it down? Or are they going to, and if they get into a hole against Wake Forest, are they going to be able to respond and, you know, go blow for blow with an offense that is going to be throwing down the field a lot?
I think they'll have some opportunities, because I think the offensive line, I mean, Wake Forest's defense had, they had 5 quarterback hurries and 3 tackles for loss with 3 tackles for loss with 1 sack against Utah. 3 of those hurries and the 1 sack came from Carlos Basham Jr., their defensive end. So Wake had one guy who was very disruptive up front, and then otherwise they didn't get a whole lot going against Jordan Love and the Utah State offense. So if the Rice offensive line can replicate that performance from last week, there will be holes and there will be there'll be time for Wiley to throw and maybe get the ball to the playmakers. So I think this is a game, given, you know, what you said about the Wake secondary and everything, I think this is there's a game where there are going to be some opportunities to make big plays down the field. And hopefully we'll see Rice take advantage of some of those opportunities.
Yeah. And they did such a good job against Army setting up the potential for those plays to happen, to where they were running the ball with such effectiveness that you can throw and sprinkle in some play action and get that tight end down the seam or, you know, a crossing route, something like that. And I don't think, and I don't know, again, how much of that was let's stick to our game plan and not give away too much since we know what we want to do against Army. Can they take that and add those wrinkles in against Wake Forest? And so Rice doesn't want to, you know, Wake's going to go 4 or 5 wide, and Rice doesn't want to ever match them and throw 5 wide receivers out on the other way. But, you know, we saw a lot of 2 tight end, 3 tight end sets. The first drive, I think I was counting, the 4th play Rice ran on offense this season had 0 wide receivers on the field, which that was something I don't think we ever really saw last year, because they didn't have the players. There was at least 1 wide receiver split out, you know, whether that be Aaron Cephas or Austin Trammell or something like that. But I think you're going to see more creativity from the offense, which is going to let them line up with 2 backs or 2 tight ends or things like that and still find success through the air. Wake's going to do it differently and try and spread everybody out. But Rice should be able to be more effective through the air. And that's how effective Wiley and those receivers can be is going to say a lot about what the odds are and the chance for Rice to go ahead and be competitive and win this game.
I think Rice is going to have a chance in this game. This is not, this is definitely not the same level of talent they're going to face, say, in 2 weeks against, you know, a team from Austin. So I think Rice, if they really execute and are, you know, engaged and as active on defense as they were against Army, just can make some of those plays in the passing game that they weren't able to make on Friday, I'd feel pretty solid about their chances in this one. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, like we said, it's going to be such a test for the secondary to stand up against this Wake Forest passing attack, and then the offense is definitely going to need some playmakers to step up. I feel pretty confident saying that the Wake is probably going to score more than 14 points. So
yeah, if we can lock that in at 14, I'll take that right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you're going to need some playmakers to step up for Rice when they have the ball so that they can, you know, they don't want to get into a shootout, but they're going to need to score some points to keep up. And so, you know,
is there a particular, I guess, a player or a position that you're looking at the closest in the run up to this game?
For Rice? I don't know. I'll take the easy way out and just say the passing game in general. On defense, it's obviously the corners, because, you know, this is such a test for them, and it's so different from the assignment that they had last week. So, you know, how they are able to play is going to go a long way in determining both the outcome of this game and how we feel about Rice's defense going forward, because they're definitely going to face more offenses that are like Wake Forest than they are that are going to run like Army's. So the secondary will be the big thing to watch on the defensive side of the ball. And then for the offense, definitely we'll be watching Wiley. And then there's not a single player in terms of a wide receiver or like a tight end. But I want to see somebody, you know, who's going to step up and get the big catch, you know, who's going to step up and haul in a ball when they decide to go deep, who's going to, you know, take the short gain and turn it into a 30-40 yard gain. So I just want to. They need a guy to step up and do that, and I will be interested to see if and who that is.
Yeah, like you said, I don't know if there's a particular name that sticks out. We know Austin Trammell is going to be Austin Trammell, but I want to see what Wiley's confidence level looks like in the pocket when he's asked to throw, you know, 25 times or 30 times in a game, and whether or not, you know, the training wheels, so to speak, are going to be taken off, and he's going to get, you know, the green light to take some shots and to attack further down the field than he did against Army. Cause that's kind of like college football is a game that as much talent as you have on every other position, like if you have a quarterback that is good, like it can cover over a lot of mistakes elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So how much Wiley Green has progressed? I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum through the spring and through fall camp that he's really taken charge, and like he commands the huddle well and he knows this offense. Like all of the intangibles are there. I want to see Wiley put it all together on the field. And I don't really feel like there was enough there from what I saw against Army to be able to determine how much Wiley has progressed. So that's really what I want to see. Like he doesn't have to be perfect and he doesn't have to do everything, but I want to see what happens when, all right, you know, it's time to go. Like you're going to have to be asked to take a team down the field and it's going to be more than four passes in a drive. I want to see what that looks like and whether Wiley can handle and execute that well. Because if he can, then I think you're right. There's no reason that Rice athletically should be scared, all that scared that, you know, they're not going to be able to hang with Wake.
And you know, it's just, you know, we talk about this offense being run heavy and, you know, Bloomgren bringing it over from Stanford and the kind of, you know, the teams that they had and what that was like. Well, you think about the best Stanford teams over the last decade, and they were all ones that had great quarterbacks. I mean, Andrew Luck, obviously, but guys like Kevin Hogan as well when Stanford was at their best. So, you know, even for a run heavy offense like this, you still need your quarterback to be a playmaker and to take the opportunities that are there in the passing game, then that really elevates you as an offense, you know, regardless of how much they want to, you know, take the air out of the ball and pound it and stuff like that. So,
and now that I'm thinking that Kevin Hogan lasted longer as an NFL pro than Andrew Luck.
Wild.
You don't need an NFL caliber guy to run that offense, but if you have someone who can make the throws, like we've seen Wiley do through practice, like, the offense is going to be better, and it needs to be better from where it was last year to complement. I mean, if you can get a defense that is going to be as dominant as it was against Army, it would be a real shame to have too much sputtering on offense and not to be able to take advantage of those opportunities that you're getting. If teams are being held to a couple of touchdowns a game, like that alone should make the odds of Rice winning and the offense being more productive significantly better than they were last year.
All right. Well, any last thoughts on Wake Forest?
Looking forward to the first home game of the year at Rice Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That much will be good. And I'm excited. After the first game, I'm particularly excited to see what Rice is going to look like second game in. A lot of things to look forward to.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Hope to see y'all at the game on Friday, and Rice fight.
This show was edited and produced by Carter Spires. It features music from Joseph McDade.